Good morning. Isn't it a beautiful morning to be at church? Yes. Thank you for being here. I'm putting on my NDI president hat and say thank you to everybody for coming to Sunday school. We had 79 this morning. We've been having an awesome turnout for Sunday school. Thank you for coming. If you don't have a Sunday school class that you're coming to, we have wonderful classes that will love on you, pray with you, pray for you. So find you one. We'd be glad to put you in right direction, right class. Also, our nursery, we're really needing someone for nursery during Sunday school to be a nursery teacher. This is 0 to 2 years. I ask you to pray about it. See if the Lord leads you to be over that Sunday school class. You can even partner up if you know somebody that you and someone can be, do the nursery. So just putting that out there, like I said, pray over it, please. We would really love to have someone in there loving on our children, playing with them during Sunday school. Okay, announcements. Choir practice today at 5, small groups at 6. Momco, Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Last Tuesday, I was thinking 6:30. Don't know why. I was late. 6. Thursday, 9:30 a.m. And if you can help with childcare Thursday morning, please let Sue Allen or Jessica Blumberg know. Wednesday night activities for our children, youth, and adults, 6 o'clock. Young at Heart's having a luncheon Friday at 2 o'clock. Here in the church, in the fellowship hall downstairs, please sign up in the foyer for food. If you're coming, it looks like you guys are having soup and sandwiches. Great time of the year for that. Love soups, desserts, drinks. So please sign up so Gail knows what food that she has and who's coming. Other events which are coming up this month and in the next few months in your bulletin. So please pick up a bulletin if you don't have one. Thank you again for your faithfulness and giving. We do have our offering boxes that are on the back either side of our sound booth there. But thanks for being here this morning.
Jesus came for to redeem. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Aren't you glad to be in the Lord's house this morning?
Amen.
Praise His name. We're so glad that you are here. Let's stand as we worship together this morning.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless with awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing. King above all kings, who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace.
Of this song.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. I hold my hope is only Jesus, for my life is wholly bound to
Tried and true with
thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we come into this place this morning, O Lord, and we know you are here. It is your presence, O God. It is your peace. It is your love. I pray your strength upon this church. Father, through your people, through the preaching of the word, through the singing of the songs, through the time that we pray around these altars, Lord, O God, your will be done. Lord, bless us and encourage us. We love you. And we love each other. In the holy and blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen.
You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning from Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Going down through, beginning with verse 8 and going down through verse 11, Pastor Jack the Younger is in Greenville, Tennessee this morning. And has been up there all week long with the Nazarene disaster response that is going on up there. Some of us are going up there tomorrow to be a part of what is going on. And we just believe God is going to use the efforts of those who are up there to help those who have lost everything. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving and the way that you have blessed us really in all of this. Because God, I believe, is at work through his people to bring about a change in the hearts and lives. It's interesting how we've been looking and we've been seeing people talking about what churches are doing. Not what the government is doing, but what churches are doing. And for so long, you know, we people have looked at the church and they've said, well, the churches don't do it. Yes, the churches do a lot. The churches do a lot. And so we praise the Lord for that. Let's look at Revelation chapter 4, beginning with verse 8 here in just a moment. Last week, we began a series of messages about the purpose of Crossville Nazarene. We talked about the fact that we have adopted a very simple and a very intentional purpose statement. That new purpose statement is there on the screen this morning. Loving God, we exist to love God and we exist to love people. We talked about the fact that we have taken our old mission statement and we have used it to make it into a strategy by which we will accomplish the very simple, the very intentional mission statement that we have. And the first part of that mission strategy that we have adopted reads like this. We will accomplish this purpose through personal and corporate worship. We will accomplish this purpose. That's just the beginning. We will accomplish this purpose through personal and corporate worship. Well, you realize as you read through the Bible that we were created to, really for companionship with God. Part of that companionship with God had to do with worship. It had to do with service. But you and I both know that man fell into sin and our purpose was lost. And people have tried all kinds of ways that they can approach God, but you know and I know that nothing works like that. God, though, aren't you glad I said it like that? God, though, took the initiative and sent Jesus. And now, because of our relationship with Jesus, you and I can once again truly worship God. The only problem is, from time to time, we don't know what worship is. We come to this place week after week after week, and many times we go through the motions and we go out of here saying, well, was anything accomplished? There, you know, we all feel that way. Even I feel that way from time to time, you know. Worship means a whole lot of things to a whole lot of different people. I mean, most of the time when we think of worship, we think of the music that happens before we look into the Word of God. And please understand that music is a part of our worship. But it's not all of our worship. And folks, you know how I love music. Oh my goodness, it's all I can do sometimes. That second song that we sang this morning, Susie and I were over here, it was just the two of us. And as I begin to try to sing that second song, Yet not I, but Christ in me. I had a time of worship. Just me, you know. And music is such a part of my life, and that's been the most difficult part of my hearing loss is not being able to enjoy music like I've always have. But music is not all that we do. Music is a means by which we offer thanksgiving. It's a means by which we offer praise to God, maybe in ways that we could not do it with just our simple words. Dietrich Bonhoeffer asked the question, why do Christians sing when they are together? The reason is quite simply because in singing together, it is possible for them to speak and pray the same word at the same time. In other words, because there they unite in the word. The fact that we do not speak it but sing it only expresses the fact that our spoken words are inadequate to express what we want to say. Wow. Well, singing and music is a part of our worship, but that's not all of our worship. That's not whether we base whether we worshiped God or not is based on our music. Music is not the basis of whether or not we had a good worship service or not. And I love music. So, if that is the case, what really is worship all about? What are we doing when we come to this place? If we're going to accomplish this loving God and loving people, then it's going to require that we do this, that we start this through personal and corporate worship. Look at what John says here, Revelation chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty who was and is to come. And whenever the creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. And by your will, they were created and have their being. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You begin to look at this passage, and it seems like here lately about all that we've been looking at are books that John was responsible for. I look at this and I see that John was allowed to view things that no other person has ever viewed. I mean, what was supposed to be a place of loneliness, what was supposed to be a place of exile, there on Patmos became a front row seat at the spectacle of the ages. I mean, John, on the Lord's Day, was called to view something that men had always wanted to view. They wanted to see heaven. They wanted to see the throne room of God. And John is there, and he is part of what's going on. And of all the things that John was allowed to see, not just once, but of all the things that John was allowed to see, he was allowed to see it several times. He was allowed to view the worship of God in heaven. And when you start talking about the worship of God in heaven, you realize that this worship was continuous. It was perfect. It was magnificent. And worship, personal and corporate, that is meaningful, it is one of the best ways that we can accomplish the first part of that mission statement, and that is to love God. And so that's really what we're going to find out about this morning, what we're going to look at. It begins as we surrender to Him and give Him the glory that He deserves. So let's look at what worship does. The first thing that I want you to see this morning is that worship begins when we acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ. Worship begins when we acknowledge the authority of Jesus Christ. Look there at verse 9. It says, the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever. Worship really begins when we acknowledge or when we admit that God has all authority. That's what John is showing us here. God is sovereign. Nine times as you go through this, John mentions the throne of God. It's almost as though John is telling us that we worship when we realize that we are coming into the very throne room of God. And really, folks, we are. Amen. We really are. When we come into His presence, we are in essence coming into the very throne room of God. And everything about that throne, everything about this view that John gives us, it suggests to us the authority of God, the sovereignty of God, but it also suggests to us the righteousness of God. We come together when we worship and we're acknowledging who God is. We're acknowledging the eternity of God. If you go down there in verses 9 and 10, he talks about the one who lives forever and ever. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is, as we talked about for so many weeks, the I Am. He is the one. I don't understand it, but I believe it. He is the one who a day is like 1,000 years and 1,000 years is like a day. He is the one who is. He is the one who was. He is the one who forever will be. And when we come together and we worship, we're acknowledging the fact that He is active in creation. He is active in redemption. He is the one who created all things and sustains all things. When we come together, we're acknowledging that were it not for Him, we would be lost. Were it not for Him, we would be lost. Can I tell you, and you are wonderful people, and I love you dearly. But I just want you to understand that if it weren't for Jesus, you wouldn't be here. If it weren't for Jesus, I wouldn't be here. I mean, He is the one who is active in our redemption. The Holy Spirit is still working in our hearts and our lives. He is the one who started the process to save us. He is the one that reached out to mankind when mankind wanted nothing to do with Him. He is the one who chose to die in order that we might live. A.W. Tozer said, "Worship rises or falls in any church altogether depending upon the attitude that we take toward God. Whether we see God big or whether we see Him little. Most of us see God too small. Our God is too little." David said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me," in Psalm 34, verse 3. And magnify does not mean that we use something to make God big. You can't make God big. But you can see Him big. Worship, I say, rises and falls with our concept of God. And if there's one terrible disease in the church, it is that we do not see God as great as He is. Amen. Wow. Someone sent that to me this week. And when we come to this place on Sunday mornings, we come to worship and we acknowledge who He is, how big He is, and what He does in our hearts and in our lives. Worship, it not only begins with acknowledgement, but worship continues. Worship continues when we yield to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. "The 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne." These elders that you're reading about here, they represent Christians of all the ages. And these elders, as they are falling down before the throne, they are giving the ultimate act of worship. They are presenting themselves to God. They are yielding themselves to God. They fall before God in an act of worship. Now, there's a very familiar passage of Scripture that we quote a whole lot. But sometimes we, in our quoting, we rush through this last part. But we're not going to rush through it for just a moment, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God." And then this is what he said, "This is your spiritual act of worship." Folks, please understand something this morning. And it is a joy to me to lead singing and watch people get blessed and raise their hands. But please understand, submission to God involves more than a raised hand. Submission to God involves a yielded heart. And we have to come to a point and place that we are offering God our very selves. It is the offering of our bodies. It is the yielding of ourselves to God. That is our ultimate act of worship. We can come in and sing the songs. We can go through all the motions. But unless we have yielded ourselves to God, then we have not worshiped Him. For those of you who don't know, that's Amen, William, good preaching. I mean, you begin to read through the book of Revelation. And many times in the book of Revelation, you're going to find those around the throne falling before God, yielding themselves to God. Even here it talks about the fact that they cast their crowns at His feet. That's an act of submission. That's an act of giving. Oh God, here is everything about me, everything that I hope to be, everything that I am. Here it is, God. I yield it. I give it to You. It is a renouncement of self-rule. And folks, I'm going to tell you this morning, one of the things that I believe that we as Christians struggle with is this thing of self-rule. We want to be in control. I flew to Kansas City 2 weeks ago. I hate flying. I mean, I just really do. You know, we got on the plane to leave from Nashville to fly to Kansas City, and when we got on that very nice Southwest jet, there was no crew. I'd have flown it for them if they'd wanted me to. That way I could have at least seen what was happening. The hardest thing to me about flying is sitting back there and watching them close the door, and I can't see what's going on. At least in my truck, I can see what this idiot is doing, you know? Folks, there are times that God shuts the door and we can't see what He's doing. It's at that point in time that you and I have to be willing to trust His heart, not just when we see His hand. And that's very difficult. But when we begin to worship, it is an opportunity for us to lay ourselves down before God and say, God, I don't know what, I don't know when, I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know anything, God, but today I yield myself to You. We call that sanctification in the Church of the Nazarene. You see, it's an act of surrendering ourselves to the very Lordship of Jesus Christ. And folks, we can come together and we can acknowledge who God is. But if we stop short of yielding ourselves to Christ, we have not worshipped. We have not worshipped. Because Paul says that it is in the yielding of ourselves to Christ that that becomes a spiritual act of worship. Well, worship is complete when we give God, when we give the Lord Jesus Christ the glory that they are due. Worship is complete when we give Christ the glory that is due Him. Look at verse 11. You are worthy, O our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being. Of all the things that I notice as I read through the book of Revelation, it is the fact that in heaven God is given the glory that He deserves. I mean, if we were to take time this morning, we could look at Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 10, and verse 12 and verse 13, and Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, 12, and 17, Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 through 18, Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 8. In all of those situations and circumstances, you find God being given the glory that He deserves. But not just in the book of Revelation. You go back and you look in the Old Testament and you're going to see those occasions which they were told and we are told to give glory and honor to the Lord that is due Him. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Psalm 29, verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. You see, when we have truly worshiped, We have given God the glory, the honor, the praise that He deserves, not just in this place, but in our private place of devotion and worship, and also in the very public places in our lives. Our lives should bring glory and honor and praise to Jesus. You see, it is worship that gives glory to God, that produces power in our lives. It's worship that gives God glory, that produces the power that we need to be, the witnesses that we need to be. In Acts chapter 2, you find a New Testament example of this. It was after the Holy Spirit filled these disciples that they flooded the streets and they began to praise and they began to proclaim the name of Jesus. Worship not only gives us power for proclamation, but it also, I believe, gives us power for mobilization. I mean, you go on over to Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 3, and this is what it says. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Lord said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." It was only after they had worshiped that they could send out Barnabas and Saul to do what needed to be done. Then it says, so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and set them off. One of the things I love about district assembly, if you've never gone to a district assembly, you need to at least go to an ordination service. Amen. One of the things I love about our ordination service in the Church of the Nazarene is the fact that we come together as a district and we ordain those people as they bow before God. But before we ever get to that point where the general superintendent lays his hands on their head and commissions them and declares them elder in the Church of the Nazarene, before we ever get to that, there's worship. My favorite thing as district secretary is the opportunity to escort those ordinands into that service to holiness under the Lord. Holiness under the Lord is our watchword in song. Holiness under the Lord as we're marching along. We will sing it, shout it loud and long. Holiness under the Lord now and forever. You see, worship and all that follows it can really only take place as we have given God the glory that is due His name. All of that. Now some application. How about that? Worship begins as we acknowledge the authority of Christ. It continues as we yield to the lordship of Christ. It is complete when we give God the glory and honor that is due Him. You say, Pastor, what then is worship? If it's not a raising of a hand, if it's not a shedding of a tear, if it's not a form or a fashion of a service, if it's not the songs that we sing, what is worship? I'm going to give it to you in a very simple sentence. It's going to be on the screen. Worship in its simplest form is loving God. It's loving God. It's loving God enough to say that He is God, and that because He is God, we want Him to be Lord of our lives. It's loving Him enough to give Him the glory and the honor and the praise, not just because of what He has done, but because of who He is. Because of who He is. The sad part of all this, folks, is that most of the time we think of worship only as a Sunday morning event. What do we call this? Our morning worship service. We don't call Wednesday nights Wednesday night worship service, do we? You know? I've always heard Sunday morning worship service, Wednesday night. Let's go back to our statement of purpose. Our statement of purpose: we exist to love God and love people. And we will accomplish this purpose. We will accomplish this purpose through personal and corporate worship. We will accomplish this purpose through personal and corporate worship. Well, there's a word in there that comes before corporate worship, and that is personal worship. We will accomplish this purpose through personal worship. You see, the first key to all of this that we're talking about, the first key in this direction in which we are moving, has to do with each one of us having personal worship times with God. Okay, I'm about to get real close here, okay? I'm not asking for raised hands, but I'm asking you this morning, are you having times of personal worship with God? Are you having times when you are alone with Him? And maybe the question should be asked, should not be asked, are we having time? Maybe the question should be asked, are we taking time? Nobody amen me on that one. I've said it a lot of times, and I'm going to say it again. Please understand, if the only Bible that you are getting is in Sunday school, morning worship, and Wednesday night, you are severely malnourished as a Christian. Could you survive, personally, now I know I've got a lot that I'm carrying around that I need to get rid of, but could you survive eating breakfast on Sunday morning, lunch on Sunday afternoon, supper on Wednesday night? Could you survive that way? Some of you already have planned what you're going to eat in just a few minutes. I know you. You know, I do too. Could you survive on that during the week? Well, the obvious answer to that is no. Why do we think then that we can survive on a Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning worship? If we go to small groups, then that, but that's only on Sunday, and then you don't eat again until Wednesday. I mean, how do we think we're going to survive spiritually if that's all we're doing? You see, if the only time that we worship is here, then we're not worshiping. We're checking a box. We're saying, I was in church on Sunday morning, check. No, folks, that's not how it works. You see, the only way that we're going to accomplish what we need to accomplish as a church is for you and for me, for everybody, to be worshiping God on a personal level, day by day by day by day. You can't expect to come to worship service and gain anything from it if you've not had personal worship during the week. I've heard a lot of people say across the years, well, you know, Pastor, I just didn't get anything out of the worship service. Well, did you prepare for it? Our guests are never going to come back. I mean, really think about it, folks. It's only as we prepare during the week, as we get our hearts and minds, As we get into the place where God can really speak to us, that He really does and can speak to us in this corporate time of worship. This is a time when we come together and we lift God's name in a way that we cannot do it in our private time. But oh, what a joyous thing it is to come together with a body of believers and sing and lift our voices to the one who has saved us and who has loved us and who has given Himself for us. I mean, think about it. What is it going to be like in heaven when all those people begin to sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. When the board was together and we began to talk about what we were doing with this, one of the things that we determined and one of the things that we said is that a purpose statement has to be measurable. There has to be a means by which we can measure. Are we accomplishing what we are setting out to do? So what is the measurable for this statement this morning? What is the measurable? How can we determine whether or not we're doing what we're supposed to do? The only way that we can determine whether we're doing what we're supposed to do is first and foremost for you and for me when we lay our head down at night to ask ourselves this question: have I personally spent time with God today? And please understand, for you to do this, especially for some of you, you're going to have to say and you're going to have to make specific times. It may be that you have to get up earlier. It may be that you have to go to bed later. It may be that you have to give up 15 minutes or so of your work hour, of your lunch hour. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be for you, but I know that if we're going to ever be what God wants us to be as a body of believers, then it's going to take you and me taking some time and spending that in personal worship before God. It's the only way it's going to work. And I promise you, folks, I promise you that if we will begin to take some time and set that time aside and say, if it's just 5 minutes, if it's 10 minutes, I don't know what it needs to be for you. Maybe you need to start with 2 minutes. I don't know where you're at, but you need to start somewhere and just say, God, for this period of time, I give myself to you. Speak to me through your word. And don't just start giving God your grocery list of things you want Him to do. Begin by saying, God, what do you want me to do? And when He says it, get ready. He'll tell you. Have you worshiped the Lord this morning? Have you worshiped Him by yielding your heart and life to Him? You see, that's the place where real worship begins. That's going to be the only way that those personal times of worship are going to begin to become meaningful. It's for you to say, oh God, here I am. I give you me. And He knows you. Let me rephrase that. He knows us. Have you spent time with Him this week? Have you spent time in His Word this week? For you see, we will accomplish this purpose of loving God and loving people through times of personal and corporate worship. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Word. We read in the book of Revelation what John saw. And so many times he saw you being worshipped. Lord, I'm so thankful. It was so good, so enjoyable this morning as we sang and as we raised our hands and as we praised you today. But all that won't mean anything unless we leave here determined this morning to spend some time with you outside of this place. Lord, if we're going to accomplish our purpose as a church of loving you and loving people, it's going to start with the personal. It's going to start with us preparing ourselves before we ever get to this place. It's going to be us saying, oh God, I want to hear from you today. I want to give you praise today. I want you to work in my life today. We want to come prepared to worship. And so, Lord, if this morning you have spoke to hearts, perhaps in just a moment, we need just to come and bow before you and say, God, here I am. I don't know the how, I don't know when, the where, I don't know any of those questions. All those questions are there. But today, Lord, I give you me. Maybe there are some Christians here this morning that they need to come back to you and just say, God, I give you me one more time. I need to give you me one more time. And so, Lord, I pray that in just a moment as we sing, I pray that you, through the power of your Spirit, would help us. Help us not to be ashamed to come and either bow here or sit here on these front pews. Help us, oh God, that we would be willing to come and say, oh God, here I am one more time. Or maybe for the first time. Maybe if there's somebody here that they need to accept Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that in this day, in this time, that they too could come and just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I'm so sorry. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. And Lord, you've promised that if we come to you, you're not going to cast us aside, but that you'll forgive us of our sins and you'll help us as we follow after you. I thank you, Lord, for this congregation, how attentively they've listened this morning. Now help us, God, to respond to you. Help us, O Lord, to come just like we are. And we thank you and we praise you for what you're going to do in this congregation this morning. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. I've had to live with this all week long. You just hear it for 30 minutes. And God has been speaking to William, okay? So don't think that I just got up here and let you have it. I want to be more open to him. I want to be more faithful in my own worship. It's easy to prepare sermons and get so caught up in the preparation of sermons that you forget that the reason that you are here is to serve the one who loved me. I don't know what you need to do this morning. I would not try to tell you. But God wants to do some things in some hearts and lives today if we'll only be willing to yield ourselves to him. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and see. Come receive. Come and live forever. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Come and live forever, life everlasting, strength. Taste the living water and never thirst again. Come just as you are. Hear the Spirit call. Come just as you are. Forevermore. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time that we have had together this morning. We thank you, Lord, for these who are bowing before you. I thank you, Lord, for your Spirit that has been so faithful this morning. So faithful to speak and so faithful to move. And I pray, Lord, for those who bow before you this morning and for those who are standing before you this morning that maybe couldn't find the courage that they need to step out and to come here. But Lord, right there where they are, you are able and you are willing to do something in them, for them, through them, Lord Jesus, today. And so we give you praise, honor, and glory for that this morning. Bless this congregation as we leave this place today. May we go out into the mission field that is surrounding us and simply live out the reality of what Jesus can do in our heart and life. Thank you, Father, for what you're going to do as we love you, as we worship you, not only in this place, but as we worship you in those alone times. We give you glory, honor, praise today. And we pray and ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Dismiss the congregation. If you'd like to be dismissed, please go very reverently. There are people who are still praying. And we want God to move on their hearts and lives. Thank you for being here. God bless you. You are dismissed.